I really wasn't sure how to do it. Like, how do you actually leave this culture that's been a part of your life your whole life? I just couldn't envision the practicalities of that.
For me, it was a real grieving process.
I almost view this like an act of a good Samaritan, helping people down a path that can be really painful and helping them figure out how to make it through.
I found this community, and I found a space that's normalized my experience.
There are a lot of people who've been down this path before you. There will be a lot of people coming after you, and it's okay.
There is a light at the other end.
We are not intending to talk anyone out of the church. This is for people who've already decided they've left. This is for the wardless.
You're listening to Wardless, a post-Mormon field guide, a podcast addressing the challenges and practicalities of navigating life after Mormonism, because leaving the church can be a little bit peculiar. Join us as we explore the path away from Mormonism and examine what it means to be wardless.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wardless Podcast. My name is Oliver, and I will be moderating today's discussion. I am joined by three of the Wardless panel: Chloe.
Hi.
Michaela.
Hey.
And Donna.
Hi there.
Hey, thanks for being here today, you three. Before we jump into the episode, we want to tell you about a new part of the Wardless podcast that we'll be launching soon called Becoming Wardless. Becoming Wardless is a way for people to tell their story about leaving Mormonism. Each episode will focus on one person with the idea that that person can then share it with family and friends online, however they wish. We already recorded our first episode.
And it's someone you might recognize.
So check our feed for the promo and to learn about how you can sign up to share your story on Becoming Wardless. We have one other housekeeping item before we jump into the episode. We want to extend an invitation. For each episode, we pose a series of written questions to our panelists that the moderator then uses to prepare for the discussion. We want to experiment with expanding that group and are looking for a couple of listeners who would be willing to help us test out having other people be part of our episode preparation. So it will involve answering a few questions about your experience with a given topic, usually with about a week to turn it around. And our goal is to try to bring some additional perspectives into the discussion.
And just a reminder that we've put a call out for students at church schools and people leaving the church in Utah or in the Mormon corridor. We'd love to hear from you specifically. And always, anyone with a different experience from ours, anyone that moved very quickly, or men, definitely drop us a line.
So if you would be willing to help us out, drop us an email at wardlesspodcast@gmail.com or message us on Facebook. Just let us know, or take a 30-second pause so you can go dash off that email. All right. So today we're going to be talking about acquaintances. You know, those people outside your core close family and friends that you don't really see all the time and aren't part of that core group that you would automatically tell when you hit a life change like this. For people who have made that decision to walk away from Mormonism, after telling their spouse or their family or their close friends, there are always more people in life. And so what do you do with them? What happens when you see them? How do you handle those situations? That's what we're going to talk about today.
And we should also mention, we've had an episode on telling your close friends and family, and we haven't had an episode on actually telling your believing spouse, which we've decided is an important enough and separate enough topic. We're going to address it in its own episode.
And thank you to all the listeners who've made comments about needing and wanting that. All right, let's get started. In our discussion today, we're going to put this topic into context, talk about the emotional and practical considerations, share a bit of how our panelists handled telling acquaintances, and finally give our key takeaways. During the discussion, you'll notice that Donna, Michaela, and Chloe all bring different perspectives to this discussion. Donna is very late in the process, having told people a long time ago. Michaela is very much in the middle of the process, wouldn't you say?
Yes, for sure.
And Chloe?
Early days.
Early days. Perfect. So let's start off with a question. What does it mean to deal with an acquaintance? In what types of situations have you had to deal with this?
So for me in these early days, it's a lot of reactive dealing with acquaintances because I'm not so much putting things out there as I am dealing when situations come up.
It's very much a reactive phase.
Very reactive at this point.
When you're saying reactive, just spell out what you're meaning by that.
I mean, I'm not actively sharing where I'm at with acquaintances in any way. So I'm not posting pictures of me drinking. I'm not being proactive. I'm very much waiting until it comes up. So that's what I mean by reactive. It's when someone else puts it in front of me and I have to react.
Mm-hmm. You could just stare.
You could.
What about you, Michaela? What does this look like?
Yeah, I'm still in that phase as well. I think I want to start being in the more proactive phase because it's gotten awkward enough and has been long enough that I feel like it's time I just make it clear where I'm at. I just had one today. I started a new job a couple weeks ago, and I had somebody who knows my family from a previous ward and got really excited by the Mormon connection, and I just didn't have the heart to tell her, yeah, I'm not going.
All right, so you're still very much in process. What about you, Donna?
So I was in a different situation in that we'd moved abroad, and then we decided to leave the church. So I was dealing maybe a little more with talking about it with non-members, but most of what I was dealing with was social media. That's where the bulk of my concerns or anxiety was. Yeah. I wasn't reactive at all in that way because...
No one posts on your wall and says, are you still Mormon?
Yeah.
It's all proactive in a way.
Yeah. So I was definitely concerned about how do I start to live authentically in this way, because I told my family, I told my close friends, and I knew I was ready to be more public, and I didn't know how to do that.
Okay. And so how is that different than telling a close family or friend?
Well, it's definitely less formal, I think, less thought out, at least for me.
For me, when I think about, you know, being more public about this, it's making something feel a little bit bigger than it maybe is.
Say more about that.
Because you're basically saying to someone who's kind of an acquaintance, but you're coming to them and saying, so I just want to tell you this thing about me.
That's a good distinction, too. Other equally personal things in your life you would never share with an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of tension between the need for authenticity and my strong desire for privacy. While at the same time, there's the assumptions that you know everyone's making because you make them yourself about other people. So you know it's happening and it blocks your ability to be authentic. And yet you also feel so frustrated. Like, why do I even... This is no one's business but my own.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating that, like with this woman I was speaking to today at work, that I felt compelled to tell her this very private thing about myself because I wanted to be authentic. And yet, how weird is that? That I'm sitting in the schoolroom over the copier and having a conversation about this deep personal thing. And I didn't say it because it felt awkward, but I really wanted to. Like, I wanted her to know who I am.
Yeah.
And people ask questions I don't think their intent is to be deeply personal, but just because of the nature of Mormonism, they are deeply personal questions.
They're just small talk. It's the Mormon version of small talk.
Yeah, interesting, Mormon small talk.
And I think that's what I meant by it's not intended to be personal, but it is very personal.
Yeah.
We just have taken it to this Mormon small talk
only
level.
Because of where we are. They don't know that.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to these assumptions that we all make about each other and the ways we connect with each other.
Right.
So along with that, the nature of the relationships when are talking about acquaintances, this can be a wide group. It can be people that you just have lost touch with over the years, but you still really care about. And then it could also be people that are you barely know.
Yeah.
And it can be, with social media these days, it can be complete strangers. Mm-hmm. So it's a wide net. So the relationships are different than with our core group, with our A-team. But I think there's still a lot of that concern over maintaining some of those relationships. Maybe sometimes we're not interested in that. I don't know. There's different dynamics there. But I think there's also still a lot of that fear that we've talked about before coming into play with belonging and community.
So what I'm hearing you say is, even though these relationships are not as high stakes, these are still relationships.
Yeah.
And so it's not like these are of zero consequence.
Right.
It's still a relationship. Still we want to figure out how to deal with it in the right way.
And I remember Chloe talking in another episode about one of the things that she really struggled with was actually really caring about what people thought of her in this group.
And it's still on my mind. I mean, I haven't put things out there publicly. And there's a reason for that, because I do care about, I'm starting to care less slowly, or worry less, I should say, but it's still there.
So this is a great transition, Chloe. What are some of the emotions that being our early in the process person that you find yourself experiencing? And maybe what are some of the things that are difficult?
I think what is difficult is maybe just it's being single. I'm not sure. I think it applies more broadly than that, but I think especially being single, the concern that there will be assumptions that I'm no longer part of the church because I wanted to sin or I wanted to do whatever. And that's not my story. And I don't love the idea that people could potentially make those assumptions. And then there's just the general things around that, like if she would just read her scriptures, or she's just upset about this, like there's all these things. And I don't feel any need to get into those reasons. I don't want to get into those reasons, especially with this group that we're talking about. But mm-hmm. I just really don't like the idea that that's what people might be thinking about me.
Is that about...
Me wanting to be understood. I think because I would like to just be like, yeah, I just don't really, it's fine. I just don't really care. And I deeply care.
For you, that's something that's important.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what about you, Michaela?
Well, definitely at the beginning, I felt just like Chloe. I didn't want to tell anyone without being able to provide some context about what exactly was happening and why. So at the very beginning of my, whatever you want to call it, transition, I posted something on Facebook that I thought at the time was pretty innocuous. It was like an article about how to talk to people going through a faith crisis. And for whatever reason, it didn't occur to me that that might indicate I'm in a faith crisis. That just never crossed my mind. I don't know why.
So you accidentally outed yourself?
I sure did. Yeah. And you were talking about how people don't ask you on Facebook if you've left church. I actually did get those. Like
on your wall?
Oh, yeah. Like messages. Oh, my gosh. Have you left? What's happening? I'm like, oh, my heavens. I'm not ready to have this conversation.
So at least they did a PM. They didn't publicly post on your wall.
Yes, just PMs. I'm sorry. Okay. Nobody on my wall. So that was really horrifying to me because I was still very much in the middle of it and didn't even know what my conclusions were. I didn't know if I was going to leave or not. And that was really frustrating to me. When someone is an acquaintance and I don't feel an emotional connection to them, I feel very uncomfortable talking about things like that. And we don't have a foundation to talk about things like that, I think is more what it's about.
One thing that's interesting and that I keep thinking about is actually when we were recording these other episodes about telling friends and family, Oliver asked the question, how do you deal with acquaintances? And we ended up cutting a lot of that, what we said. But listening back as I was editing, the response from Kristen was, who are we talking about? Are they important to me or not? Chloe wanted to know, what's their motivation? And I wanted to know how I was going to be ready for it. So they're very different responses to that, and, you know, sort of reveals like what people, you know, what are the things they're struggling with or when it comes to this topic.
Yeah.
So keeping sort of on the emotional side of things, what was easier than you've expected where you're at? And let's go same sort of order. Chloe early, Michaela in the middle, and Donna further out.
I feel like being single in the church has also prepared me for the same type of thing in that I've always had to have one-liners ready for when people say things that are super uncomfortable and inappropriate around, not inappropriate, but just too personal, right? Like being single, it was like, so what does your husband do? Well, now it's like, I've learned to be really prepared with those one-liners. And I think that has helped a lot.
We'll dive into some of those one-liners in a little bit. I'm excited to hear some of the best one-liners from the group. All right, Michaela, you're in the middle of the process. What's been easier than you expected?
Okay, it's not so much that this was easier, but more that it was a surprise to me that I feel less self-conscious now than I did at the beginning. And what is surprising is I wasn't expecting that to happen. I was expecting to always be embarrassed, you know, that I'm no longer LDS. And now that I feel pretty good about it and happy where I'm at, I'm much more confident about it than I thought I would be.
You thought you'd be eternally anxious?
Yes, exactly.
I've actually noticed that for myself, that the more I'm in this, the more comfortable I feel being in this.
Did you expect it to take longer to get comfortable?
I expect it. I think like Michaela, I don't know that I expected to ever feel comfortable. And I feel like it's happening a lot faster too than I would have ever expected. Mm-hmm.
So Chloe, are people's reactions making that easier? Is that part of it?
I think definitely that's been part of it. I think people's reactions have actually been quite positive, and that's been helpful. I also think, honestly, like the practice of talking through these things from a podcast and hearing other people's stories, if I just can make a plug for the value of this, it's super valuable for me because I can hear other people's stories. And many of you have done a lot of the things that I'm in the process of doing before.
You mentioned in a previous episode, visualizing the conversation with your family and friends.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that when visualizing a conversation with an acquaintance?
No, and I know we're going to get into this later, but I definitely visualize social media post reactions.
Okay, got it.
Also, therapy is really helpful. Mm.
Chloe's first mention of her therapist in this episode. In this episode.
Who's got the bingo card?
Or drinking game, or wordless drinking game.
Wordless drinking game, that's right. That's right, it's a drinking game.
Oh my gosh, we're still so Mormon.
Pathetic.
I still attend. All right, Donna, where you are now, a couple of years removed from the process, is there anything that you're experiencing now that's been easier than you expected it to be?
Oh, that I'm experiencing now?
Yeah.
I think that's what's easier for me is the fact that the way that I handled this and sort of being public got me to where I am now, which is where I can be totally comfortable with where I've landed.
Uh-huh.
But nothing really about the process was easy at the time. I really don't, you know, it won't be any surprise to people that I overanalyzed this whole thing because that's my MO. That's what I do. So as a part of that process, I really did the work to figure out what was important to me. And so I feel like that now I'm reaping the benefits of that, I guess.
Interesting.
That's just part of the over-analytical nature. I really, the benefit of it, I'm going to say.
I also love your point about there was nothing that was necessarily easier than you thought. I think that's an important experience, perspective that some people may have, that it's just as hard as you thought it would be.
Maybe it was a little harder than I thought. Yeah. I thought I was through the hard process of telling my close friends and family. I was like, oh, now I got to deal with this.
Right? It's very interesting. The first time we talked about the idea of an episode for dealing with acquaintances, I almost thought, what, Ella, is there?
What are we even going to talk about?
Right, what are we going to talk about?
Oh, there's
a lot. There's so much to talk about. So let's start moving in and talking about some of the practical considerations and hearing more about your stories. And what we're going to do is let's split this into two parts. So part one is going to be about telling people in person. Part two is going to be about telling people not in person and mainly dealing with social media. So I would love to start with you, Chloe. Talk a little bit about what is unique about telling people in person versus telling people online.
So to give two examples, I was on a train. I ran into someone I hadn't seen in a while on a train. We're both raised Mormon. He lives in the area, but not in my ward boundaries. And so he asked, are you in, I'm not going to say my ward. I don't know my ward. Are you in this ward? And I had to respond to that in that moment, right? He's right in front of me. And this is where my one-liners come in. And I said, I might be. I haven't gone to church in a while. And that was the end of it. Like that was kind of the end of the discussion. So thinking about proactive and reactive, there's kind of that reactive one-liner. As an example of proactive, I was going to a work event. I have a coworker who works remote normally and was going to be in town. So we were at a dinner. And I didn't want it to be awkward for me the whole night. And so I sent him a message online through our work thing and just said, hey, just want to give you a heads up. No longer active. I will likely have a glass of wine tonight. I'm pretty sure you're okay with this. Like, I'm more telling you because I want to feel comfortable. I didn't say it exactly like that, but so that was proactive communication. And it wasn't in person, but it was, because again, I'm telling him kind of this personal thing.
Yeah.
That really, I wouldn't normally have that conversation with someone.
Well, you think about on a train, a cocktail party, like a light situation where you're not going to have a deeper conversation, that idea of give information, move conversation on,
yep,
becomes a really critical strategy.
Yeah.
And a great strategy. So Chloe, just to stick with you for another minute, what's your experience been like telling people who were never involved with Mormonism or never knew you as Mormon?
Oh, goodness.
This is another important part of
This may be another episode.
Just the in-person telling, that it's not just telling your Mormon friends.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to bring up this with people who have...
who never knew you as Mormon and never were Mormon themselves.
Yeah.
Dating. Always the dating. It is very...
So this is where Donna, Michaela, and I get really quiet.
It comes up all the time because I'm basically now, I've had a birthday, so now 41. I'm kind of a 41-year-old, adolescent in a lot of ways as I'm figuring a number of things out.
Oh, but you're not the only one, Chloe.
No, that's true.
But it's like,
but I know
it's
what
like
you're talking
highlighted
about.
You're talking about with dating situations where someone's like, so what do you want to drink? And I'm like, oh, I don't really know. Let me tell you why I don't know. And I do, in those situations, I actually like getting that out there up front just because it is part of who I am and it's how I was raised and it informs a lot of the way I am. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a nice segue when that comes up just to be like, so I don't really know.
Yeah. And so in those situations, do you find yourself, you mentioned a number of techniques from before, like having one-liners ready.
Yeah. And it may sound a little contrived, like having all of these one-liners ready, but honestly, it's kind of my version of Donna's preparation for things and really thinking it through. That's what makes me feel really comfortable going into situations is knowing, okay, I'm ready to deal with these things because they're so new for me to deal with them that that's what makes me feel comfortable.
A one-liner can be a bit of a saving tool, you know, when you're confronted with these situations and, oh man, you just don't want to put a ton of energy into the conversation.
Yeah. It can also, if you want to get into the conversation, it's another way of doing that, right? If you want to tee someone up to say, ask more. I want to tell you.
And generally, Chloe, have you found people's responses to be positive? Like
the non-Mormons?
Yeah.
It's generally been positive. What has been interesting, though, is I've gotten, especially with dating for some reason, a lot of like, oh, good for you. And that's been interesting because I have an emotional reaction to that because it's still so fresh. And I love how I was raised.
Yeah.
Like, I still hold a lot of those values really close to my heart. I feel like I had a good childhood. And so when they say that, it's really hard for me to not just want to jump in right on the defensive. But that's not where I want to go with these people, right?
It's interesting because I almost saw an emotional reaction from you for a moment. And it sounds like sometimes people are taking this as an invitation to bash your past.
Well, and it's the whole concept, like, I can talk trash about my mom, my sister, whatever, but you can't.
Yeah.
You're not in it. So don't go there.
Especially for someone who never was Mormon and never lived that experience. So Michaela, when you think about telling acquaintances, what does that mean for you?
Well, the main word that comes to mind is awkward. So for example, this summer I was at a family reunion and this is this part of my family that is 100% active. No one has left the church. Nobody except me. So these are people I haven't told. I don't talk to them on a regular basis. But there are some, like cousins that I know a little bit better, that I feel like should know this if we're going to have an authentic conversation over the course of those 3 days. And so I didn't handle this very well.
So this would be what didn't work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of my stories are what didn't work.
That's great because we're all human.
Michaela's our cautionary tale.
I am. So I'm at a dinner sitting next to this cousin that I probably know the best out of all of the, I don't know, 20 cousins that are there. And I was just thinking like, oh, does she know? Does she not know? Do I say? Do I not? Like, this is the loop that's going on in my head. But anyway, finally, I just blurted out. I was like, so do you know I've stopped going to church?
So that's a one-liner.
I guess you could call it that. And she was kind of like, yeah, I sort of figured, which made me go, what? How did you know? Oh, no. That opens up a whole nother can of worms. But yeah, that was kind of awkward because I didn't really have a good reason to bring it up or talk to her about it. But I felt like, God, if we're going to have a real conversation, I just want her to know where I am and who I am, just so that we're clear on everybody's roles in this relationship.
So it sounds like it was very much a need to feel understood.
Very much. And that's a huge theme in my life, for sure.
Well, and also that uncertainty. I think some people are more comfortable just with being like, who cares if they know or don't know? I don't care. And others of us,
doesn't
myself
work.
In particular, that does not work. That
right.
Like for you, okay. that uncertainty ends up consuming just so much of your mind and
yeah, and energy and attention and
yeah,
creates a lot of anxiety.
So Michaela, after you told this cousin this and your cousin said, yeah, I sort of figured that out, what happened in the conversation?
Honestly, I have no idea. I think I blanked out. I just blacked out and passed out. I don't know.
I was curious that if the conversation continued well, was it super awkward or like, did it destroy that relationship?
Oh, no, of course not. But it definitely was a little bit awkward. And, you know, in any communication that you're having with someone, if you're awkward, the other person is going to feel awkward. That's just part of human nature. So, yes, we survived.
We can survive awkwardness.
Yeah.
It's the nature of humans telling each other weird things.
It's true. There's no getting around. And it's just going
to
be.
Having to react right there in real time.
Yeah.
So, Michaela, what were your experiences talking to people who were never Mormon?
Okay. So those have been totally different, of course, and for sure much easier.
Are they more proactive or reactive?
Oh, definitely proactive.
Oh, okay.
And this comes out of, again, wanting to be understood and wanting to make connections. Any new person that I meet, this is actually also sort of awkward because that's just me in general. But when I meet someone...
I think we've established that this experience is awkward.
Sorry, I gotta stop saying it. It's so awkward, but...
Drinking game.
Let me compare it to what it was like when I had my daughter. When I had my daughter, she was a preemie and it was a very traumatic experience. And I found myself wanting to tell the whole world about it. And I would bring it up at inappropriate moments, in business meetings and strange times, because it was this huge thing that was happening to me. And I just felt like people need to know. And it's been exactly like that with leaving the church, that I've had this huge shift in my thinking and this big change in who I am. And I just want to talk about it. And I want people to know that and understand that this is a huge part of what makes me, me. The reactions have been interesting too. Like Chloe was saying, I thought it was interesting your response to the reactions. I actually had the opposite experience. I found the reactions of, oh my gosh, good for you. And wow, that must've been so hard. And I found those super validating. I just feel like saying, damn right, this was awful. And everyone should know that and give me big stars for this. So I've actually really loved those experiences with non-Mormons. I just feel like they can have a totally different perspective on it than someone that's active.
Anything else that you wanted to call out? Have anything you want to add?
We've made it pretty clear that I think being prepared with a response is a super good idea. And I think I need to do better at that.
I'll practice with
Maybe
you later.
Maybe we can put on our show notes page some of our best one-liners in the show notes. And listeners, if you want to send yours in, we can include some of those.
Or post them on the Facebook page.
Yes, please do. Absolutely. Because then I will write them on a note card and put them in my pocket. And then I won't be so awkward.
Until you bust out the note card.
Pulling out your note card. Right. And reading it will not be awkward.
That's less awkward than the way I have
I no
I
longer, I don't know. I don't attend church.
And then Michaela just stare at them.
All right. Thank you, Michaela. Let's move on to you, Donna. We'd love to hear about your experience of telling people in person.
My experience of telling people in person has mostly been in the non-Mormon community.
Mm-hmm.
And getting people's reactions, it was really, I felt like I was lucky and that I bonded with a lot of people who had left other religions. And so actually, it was very important for me to find people to talk to outside of Mormonism. That was a huge part of my process. But the few negative experiences I had were with people who were basically, you know, new acquaintances, people I had just met, who reacted very negatively to me being even a former Mormon. Was really? Very threatening really? To them. It's only happened about 3 times, and it's always been
Can
with
you say more about that? Yeah.
Very Christian, like evangelical Christians.
So maybe people that if you had met before would have had a problem with you as a Mormon.
No.
I think she's saying people who would have had a problem with It's just the Mormonism aspect. They're just not comfortable with it. And then even further, finding out that, not only did I leave Mormonism, I left religion. Extra uncomfortable. And I've had people witness to me and do that sort of stuff. So yeah, awkward.
How have you handled those situations? What's worked well for you in those situations?
So I generally try to diffuse things. I try to just be generous with people too, that especially that in-person thing, people are reacting in ways that it's maybe not their best self. And maybe they might regret it and wish they'd handled it differently. So I just try to tell myself things like that. I think there's also that practice of having to navigate things with your believing family and friends.
Yeah.
And so when you just realize like, this is somebody we're not going to see eye to eye on this, already I have that experience of diffusing the situation and changing the subject if I need to. Yeah.
That is a second set of one-liners, the diffuse and move on one-liners, right?
Yeah.
We're not getting into this.
Yeah. Anything else that you wanted to add about in-person experiences with acquaintances?
Yeah, I think a lot of the advice we gave in our previous episode about telling family and friends can still be applicable in some of these situations, depending on the type of acquaintance. Consider what your intention is. Decide if you want to build bridges with that person or what you're looking to do. Is the relationship
still
important?
Do you want to win the war of the mind?
Exactly.
Do you want to build a relationship?
What are you going in for? And if you know your intentions and if you know how you feel about that relationship, if it's worth it or not, be generous with people, keep it high level. All those things, I think, still apply, or can, at least.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's move to the other side, dealing with acquaintances online. And so I want to start talking about sort of this shift to social media, right? So if you think about someone who 20 years ago made the same decision to walk away from Mormonism, so many acquaintances from their past would be just that, in the past.
It is weird, the relationships that we keep and maintain now, isn't it?
And I love some of them. Like, yes. I love that I still get to be connected, but also it makes this so much harder.
Yeah.
So I would love to start with you, Chloe. How have you dealt with social media, being someone who's very early in this process?
I am trying to figure this out right now. In terms of harder than expected, I feel like I'm curating my social media right now. And I feel like there's a lot of stuff I leave out. So I'm not posting about taking a cocktail making class, right? I'm not talking about certain aspects of my dating life. I'm just, you know, being super thoughtful about what I put out there. That said, I'm also using it, and I think this is a theme for me, just slowly like leaking out information. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to use it in a way where just this week I posted about having a tarot card reading. Now, that's not outing myself per se, but it definitely is something that I think a lot of my still believing active acquaintances will find uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. And so figuring out how do I do that? But I don't want to, I think part of it is I don't want to put things like in your face without the story behind it.
Interesting. And what's driving that for you, that desire to have the story with it?
Again, wanting that authenticity and wanting to be understood, even by acquaintances.
I think that what some of the things that you're referencing, Chloe, are the ways that people deal with this a lot.
Yeah.
And so like you're sort of describing what I call the I'll just leave this right here approach.
Yeah.
Where you're just, you know, you post something that's definitely communicating something, but you're not saying it explicitly.
Yes.
It might be that picture in a tank top, or it might be the picture of a drink or something like that.
Yeah.
And you're letting people read between the lines.
But that's even at this point still too in your, like, I'm really, that's too like, aggressive. I'm, yeah. yeah like,
but that's, you're at step one, and yes, that may be three, like, four, or five.
Well, that's a, you're just in that realm.
Yes, I'm totally in that realm. Okay, so I would say there's kind of a couple different steps. There's like the super passive, which is odd for me because I'm not super passive, but in life in correct. General, but I'm being super passive. There's yeah. the like, I'm going to be a little bit more clear, which I feel like would be the tank top. It's not aggressive, yeah,
that's,
but it's...
That's the read between the lines.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah. yeah. And yeah. then there's aggressive.
Well, and then there's in between, I think, people who just state it explicitly. I actually, that's what I chose to do. And then I think there's another category, and those are the people who just disappear. That's just how they would rather deal with it. Like, well, it's just too hard to deal with
or,
it. And
or
so
the
they're,
people who never post on social media. Like yeah. Kristen, my wife, has said... I just don't post on social
yeah.
media.
Yeah.
All right, Michaela, let's talk about you and social media. How have you handled this?
Well, we already mentioned that I prematurely outed myself, so that wasn't a really great start. So I'm kind of like what Chloe was saying. I occasionally will post things where you could read between the lines and maybe make some assumptions, but they're not explicit at all. And I'm finding that I'm at a point where I need to be explicit, or I want to be explicit, because A, it feels like it's just time. And I'm tired of hiding, I guess. I'm tired of filtering myself and thinking constantly about, oh, who will see this? Who will not? What will it mean?
You're hitting your tipping point. Right,
exactly. Yes, I'm hitting my tipping point. So in saying that, I'm actually the inaugural episode of Becoming Wardless. We recorded that. We recorded my episode last week, and I definitely feel pretty anxious about it. Anytime you do something like that feels vulnerable, you always step back and kind of reassess and, you know, did I say enough? Did I say too much? Am I going to offend somebody? Mm-hmm. Am I not going to offend enough people?
Are you being authentic, it sounds
right,
like.
Right, am I being authentic?
Am I going to be understood?
But that is a really fine line to walk, is being authentic without being offensive to someone mm-hmm. else. You know, I'm intending to post this on Facebook, and so everybody that I'm in friends with, from my grandma, you know, to like my first grade teacher, has the potential to see this. Mm. And what exactly do I want those people to know? That was a really difficult exercise to go through. I'm worried.
There's still a large vulnerability component, even though we're talking about acquaintances.
Yes, and I will say, along with the anxiety, I'm also very excited. I'm really excited to have this out. I'm excited to be authentic. This is like a burden off my shoulders. I don't have to think anymore about who knows and who doesn't. I can just get all these conversations done in one fell swoop.
And there's so much power in story.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much power in our in story, just to communicate ideas, but also in our own personal stories. And having the chance to tell your personal story to this audience, there's power in that.
And that's what I'm trying to keep in mind when I am feeling anxious about it, that at the end of the day, this is my story. And if someone wants to judge or criticize that, that's kind of their deal. That's on them. And this is me being authentic, and that's me.
I love it. I'm super excited for that episode to come out. If there's nothing else to add, visual cue that there's a no, I would love to move over to you, Donna. So talk to us about your experience dealing with acquaintances through social media.
So I saw so many people doing that, letting people read between the lines, which I completely understand why you would want to do that. But it just was not, it was not something that I was comfortable with.
Why not?
I think it comes to what Chloe mentioned earlier about controlling your own narrative. And I knew, like, the assumptions that get made. And I understand the church narrative of why people leave and the things that people tell themselves about why people leave. And this was something that I did not want my voice to be stifled mm-hmm. with. I wanted to own my story, and I wanted people to understand it. I was not interested in convincing anyone to leave. Mm-hmm. I just wanted people to understand that all those reasons that the church culture might tell them I've left is not anything to do with my experience.
So what happened next that took you to saying, this is how I'm going to communicate my story and own my story?
So I needed to figure out a way to do this. And at the time, I You remember back when everyone and their dog had a blog? Mm-hmm. I figured at that time, I think I'll blog about it. I also mentioned I'm more of a writer. Mm-hmm. And I started quite a few drafts and just wasn't really getting anywhere with it. And a lot of that fear and anxiety was getting in the way. But I also at the time was a podcaster for a nonprofit in Amsterdam. And a friend of mine who also did podcasting there mentioned she was looking for somebody to talk about reinventing yourself. That was a theme she was exploring. And so I just sort of piped up and was like,
if anyone has to reinvent themselves.
I'm doing a little reinvention myself, just a smidge.
And so it just turned out that I went on her podcast and told my story. And she asked a lot of questions about it. And I gave a lot of thought, just like I would if I was going to be writing a blog post. But In this case, it was thinking not so much about writing it, but telling people as if it was that opportunity to be in person with them, telling them. It also gave me a deadline, which I sort of needed. So then we recorded it and she let me know it was published. And then the anxiety set in and it was like, oh, okay, now I actually have to share it. And, you know, I spent a long time drafting a post. I tried to be respectful and brief in my explanation of why I was doing it. And then I asked people not to tell me how sad they were.
Oh, in the post you said
yes.
That? Wow.
I can't handle people's sadness. And so, because I'm not differentiated.
Good differentiation. Is thinking of that. You were asking them
working
to help you differentiate.
In process. And put it out there. And the response was amazing. I mean, so much better than I could have hoped for. And I was really expecting to get some people, you know, testifying to me or telling me how disappointed they were or private messaging me to shame me or whatever. And I got none of that.
That's hopeful.
Well, and I love that you set those boundaries. Like in posting it. And I think I maybe wouldn't have thought about that, but I think it is really important. I'm not the overthinker so much. Donna's here to do it for us. I love it.
Donna's here to do it for all of you listeners.
I think it comes back to knowing what is important to you and what your priorities are. And so, yeah, I had a couple of priorities. And one is that I was going to own that story. And the other was that I was not going to take on people's sadness because I knew I just couldn't. It was already too vulnerable and too raw and painful. But yeah, the responses were great. And I think part of it is that in the podcast episode, I did talk a little bit about my reasons, but again, I wasn't looking at it as an opportunity to convince anyone to make a laundry list of why I left. It was more just bringing people into the process so they could understand.
Telling your story.
That was exactly what it was. And so people responded to that in a very different way. So I was public from that point on.
Yeah.
You know, technology saved the day. and that was it. And I was free. And I'm still aware of things that I post. And there's still a lot of people I know who are active and believing. And I want to be intentional about things that I share and how they're going to feel about that. But at least now, like, I can pretty much post what I want in the way I see fit.
What I love about this as well is if you post a 30-ish minute episode of yourself talking, there will be some natural self-sorting among your acquaintances. Some people will want to listen and some people won't.
Yeah, and that's fine.
So it's there if they want it, and you may be surprised who wants it, but it... You know,
I definitely was.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Did anything else surprise you from it?
Oh, yeah. All the private messages that I got from people saying...
Really?
Yeah, me too.
Wow.
People that I would not have expected, including Michaela.
That's so funny because I didn't know that that was part of your both of your stories, that was a connection point.
Yeah. And I think Donna was probably the first acquaintance that I knew of that came out publicly. And that was really a big deal for me. It just made it seem like, oh my gosh, it's okay to do this.
It can be done.
It can be done, yeah.
And that doesn't mean you have to do this my way in an explicit declaration. Mm-hmm. But I would say if you are sort of leading down that route, go for it.
Yeah.
It is so freeing and I think worth it. But if you know that actually authenticity for you is just dropping those hints, not worrying about it, letting people do what they're going to do and think what they're going to think, and that's best for you, then that's being authentic for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing we need to make clear is that it's really not, it's not crucial or critical for you to share this with everyone. You certainly can, but that's not necessarily the right path for everyone. And if you feel like you would rather just be, you know, silent about it, that's absolutely fine.
Totally legitimate.
That's the right choice.
Yeah. And I think that's probably, if Kristen were here, that would probably be her perspective, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. Say nothing.
I think Kristen does not like social media.
But yeah, she's definitely in that very comfortable, just not needing to be explicit.
Absolutely. I think that is the perfect segue into our takeaways. But before we do that, anything else that anyone would want to add about dealing with acquaintances online, proactive, reactive?
One more consideration with looking at this and doing some research around this is there's not a lot out there in terms of how do you tell friends or how do you tell acquaintances that you've left your religion through social media. But there are good resources around, you know, like other big life events like getting divorced and how you tell people about that or a loved one passing. And there's a website, fatherly.com, that had some really good advice. Be succinct, positive, and respectful. Be clear about the finality and then avoid blame and bitterness. And I think that's great. You know, they're talking about divorce. I think it's great advice for and something to consider for telling people about your decision.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap. They're not equivalent, of course.
Of course not. But there is a lot of overlap.
It's interesting to think about having to announce these life changes in a social setting that may not be perceived as positive by everyone.
Right.
I will definitely include a link to that in our show notes. As we wrap up our section around practical considerations and your stories, which thank you for sharing your stories on this today, I think it's always important to think about the perspectives that we may be missing. For some people, there may be an additional change, such as a divorce or coming out as LGBTQ, that makes this a different experience. Or in a situation where someone wants to be an activist against the church, or they've been excommunicated and they're still trying to own their authority and their story and their narrative. These are things that we haven't tackled because they're not our experiences to share, but they're definitely things that can influence your experience dealing with acquaintances.
And we would love to hear those stories. And I think in terms of what we're trying to do with the podcast and build that community, if you want to share your story in our Facebook group, talk about your experience or even test out, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. And so that can be a great resource. So we'd love to have you come share your
thoughts. It's a way to set up a test balloon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure the canary lives.
Absolutely. Make sure the canary lives. All right. Let's move on to our one takeaway. This is a chance for each of our panelists to say, what's the one thing that you hope people take away from hearing about your story and your experiences today? Let's kick it off with you, Chloe.
So given where I'm at, mine would be come up with some one-liners so that when you are caught off guard and you're in the space that I'm in, at least you're ready with responses.
Love it. Have some one-liners. All right, Michaela, what's your takeaway for today?
Okay, mine is lean into the awkward. It is going to be awkward. Just know that in advance. Just dig in and be okay with that.
Just stare people down.
That's right. Just stare them down and be silent. Yep.
So lean into the awkward. And then Donna, what's your one takeaway for us today?
So I think it's important to figure out what is your priority. If it's privacy, if it's authenticity, if it's controlling your narrative and owning your story, figure out what that is. I think you'll be a lot happier with the outcome.
I love it. That's it for this episode of Wordless. Thanks again to all three of you for your participation today and for sharing your stories with our listeners. Listeners, we'd love to know your experiences dealing with acquaintances. Get in touch in our Facebook group, the Wordless Podcast Group, over email, wordlesspodcast@gmail.com, or on Instagram, Twitter, all the ways. And don't forget to check out the promo for Becoming Wordless. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Little Plastic Baggies of Cheerios, for your kids to snack on at sacrament meeting, and for you, because how else are you going to get through Fast Sunday?
You've been listening to Wardless, a post-Mormon field guide. For more information and for the show notes for this episode, visit wardlesspodcast.com. If you have a question you'd like us to answer on the podcast, a topic you'd like us to consider, or if you think you might have a unique perspective to add to an upcoming episode, we'd love to hear from you. And if you found this episode helpful, please consider leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. But the most helpful thing you can do is share this episode with someone you know. So please share the love and pass on our links. Thanks again for listening. We hope it makes you feel a little less wordless.
I mean, let's just face it, it's like a reality show. It's not really reality most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Social media isn't a place where we have a lot of authentic, deep
conversations. I'm sorry, are you saying The Bachelor isn't real?
No, Michaela. I would never say
Donna,
that.
Donna, stop now.
To you in
Donna,
person.
Donna, Michaela is on a journey. A journey with every bachelor, bachelorette, and contestant.
That's what I need to be able to do. Do I have permission to beat people up?
Yeah.
Okay. Fight club.
Well, I think you
Wordless
do.
Fight club.
If, like, we're all afraid of making you mad because you'll edit us to sound stupid.
Which isn't that hard, meaning not she will just not edit us.
Not hard at all.
Yes, but Donna's part of this podcast and she doesn't want the podcast to sound stupid, so I don't worry about
That's
that.
That's true. It's only actually her ego that is saving us.